Open your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. Nehemiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. I'm thankful to God that as a child I accepted the Lord Jesus. And my ticket has been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And if you've ever flown on an airplane, you can get your ticket ahead of time. You can do it online and pay for that online. And then when you get to the airport, they'll go through the gate and they'll check your ticket. But then they'll give you a boarding pass. And when you get down to the very end of the gate, there'll be a ticket agent there, and usually they have a scanner, and you show them that boarding pass, and they scan that boarding pass, and they say you can get on board. And then once you're on board, the door is shut, and then before long you're taken off. Well, I'm thankful to God my ticket has been paid for. And I've got my boarding pass. It hadn't been punched just yet. But most any day now, we're heading out of this world. And I'm headed to a place that is much, much better than where you and I are living today. It's hard for us to understand. But my friend, if you are around this place long enough, you will find that heaven is much sweeter than this earth is. And you will find that the attraction to heaven is greater than the attraction to this earth. There used to be some things that I wanted to do, some places I wanted to go, and but my friend, I've reached a point in my life that the next thing I'm looking forward to is my boarding pass being punched. And we're getting on board, and we're heading out of here. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'll try to be brief this morning. We do want to have our Lord's Supper today. And I just want to emphasize to you that are visitors, we do not have a closed communion. It is open to anybody that's saved. And we'll say more about that in a few minutes. But Nehemiah chapter 9, and verse number 6, the Bible said, "Thou, even thou art Lord alone, thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and that is therein. Thou hast preserved them all, and the host of heaven worship thee." I want to call your attention to that verse this morning where the Bible says that thou art Lord alone and thou hast made heaven. I'm glad, beloved, that there is a better place when we leave this world that we can go to. I'm thankful to God today that heaven is a real place with real people. And beloved, it is in existence now. As they sang about it this morning, I believe that heaven is populated by saints of God that have gone on before. They're free from any pain, suffering, and sorrow. They're free from any heartache. And I believe this, my friend, that many of them are waiting on us. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And I do believe that we are on the very verge of the coming of Christ. But if he doesn't come, then by the child of God, we're headed to a place called heaven. I believe in heaven. Do you? Amen. I preached recently on the matter of hell. I'm preaching today on how beautiful heaven must be. Pray with me if you would, please. Father, we need your help. Lord God, I plead the blood of Christ today and ask you for a special touch of God. Lord, you know this body has been feeble, but Father, that's been in the past, and today I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Father, we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, today as we stand to preach, give us Holy Ghost unction. I pray, God, that You would touch every heart. And if there's someone here today that doesn't know You in the free pardon of sin, that today would be the glad day they would say yes unto the Savior. Bless now, we pray, in the time we have. In Jesus' name we ask it, and God's people said, amen. Amen. A little girl and her daddy was out one starry night looking up at the clouds. And as they were looking up at the stars, may I say, as they looked up at the stars, her dad could tell that she was in deep thought. And so her dad asked her, "Honey, what are you thinking about?" And she responded to her father and said, "Daddy, if the top of heaven is as beautiful as the bottom of heaven, I'd like to go there. Wouldn't you?" And beloved, as we preached this morning, I think it would help us all to consider the place called heaven. I believe, my friend, that God has prepared a place for them that love Him. I believe that He's prepared a place where you and I can inhabit for all of eternity. Aren't you glad that there's a place where there's no more pain and sickness and sorrow? Aren't you glad there's a place where there's no more devil, no more sin, no more temptation, no more disappointments, no more pain and sorrow? I'm thankful for a place called heaven. As we look at that this morning, I want to notice just a few verses of Scripture. Number one, I want you to see that heaven is a real, literal place. It has an address. The Bible said in John 14, verse number 2, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He said, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In the olden days, it is said that when a king would travel from one place to another, one city to another, that they would go ahead, his attendants would go ahead of him and make ready for the place in which he was to abide. They would go and prepare a place for the king to rest. My friend, may I say to you that our Lord Jesus, when He died on Calvary's cross and He was buried, rose again the third day, that He has ascended back into heaven, into the place where God Almighty dwells, and He has been preparing a place for over 2,000 years for you and I. It only took Him 6 days to build this world and all the beauty that's in this world. But friend, think about what heaven would look like. Words cannot describe the beauty of heaven. He's been working on that for 2,000 years. And when it's all finished, when it's all ready, thank God we'll inhabit that place. When Stephen was being stoned after he was preaching, the Bible said that he looked up into heaven in Acts 7:56 and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Paul also confirms the reality of heaven. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul said that our conversation is in heaven. Now, he's not talking about our vocal conversation. Excuse me. He's talking about the word conversation is our manner of living. And he said our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, Peter makes His truth known to us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance," listen now, "incorruptible and undefiled, and that it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Listen, my friend, the Bible goes on to say, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, to be revealed in the last time." The Bible says that as a child of God, we have an inheritance in heaven.
I don't know what all that's going to entail, but I know one thing, it's going to be good. I know one thing. Listen, if the walls were not jasper, if the streets were not gold, and even if it was a place where people grew old, still the Bible would tell me that where Jesus is, it makes it heaven for me. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the day that I can inherit that home in heaven. No longer will I have to drive 55 miles to a little place in Reidsville. No longer will I have to worry about a light bill or a telephone bill. But thank God I'll be in a place I won't have to go to doctors and hospitals. Say amen right there. Thank God for that. I don't know about you, and you might, if you're in good health, you say, preacher, I haven't had the experience that. The older you get, you'll probably experience some of them things. Amen? Pardon me. But I was at the doctor Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and then at the respiratory folks on Friday. So my week was taken up with doctor visits. But I sat and watched my son about a week or so ago. We had taken a few days off. I wanted to take him fishing so bad. And we left on a Sunday night, and he was sick when we left. And he was sick when we got there. He was sick all day Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And I said, son, you're just not strong enough. Even if the weather is cooperating, we were wanting to go on Friday. He had dialysis down at the Morehead City on Tuesday and Thursday. And I said, son, you're just not strong enough to go fishing this time. So we loaded up our little belongings and drove back on Wednesday night. He went back to dialysis. He's been in the hospital again this week. I don't try to play on your emotions, but he was in the hospital again this week. He had 24 pounds of fluid on him on Thursday. They couldn't get it all off. So he was at dialysis on Tuesday, Thursday, hospital early Friday morning, dialysis Friday, and dialysis on Saturday. Friend, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a place. Amen. I'm looking for a place. They don't have any doctors. Amen. They're out of business. They won't have any oxygen. Brother James won't need it. They won't have any kind of blood transfusions. They won't have to have any kind of chemotherapy treatments. There won't be any signs of stroke or debilitating diseases or crippled bodies. Thank God there is a place that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him, that are saved by the good grace of God. And we're going to heaven, my friend. This world is not my home. Get this in your brain. This world is not my home. I'm only a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels, they beckon me from heaven's golden shore. But I can't feel at home in this world anymore. People who invest money down here. I hear these advertisements on the radio. They say, you know, if you got $500,000 saved for retirement, you know, we want to talk to you. And I'd say, yeah, I'd like to talk to you as well. Amen. I've known people that have won the lottery. Friend, let me tell you something. You can invest your life's earnings down here and you'll see it all vanish. But I'm glad to tell you one thing. I'm going to a city where they pave the streets with gold. I'm headed to a city where it never decays, where you don't have to worry about the termites undermining its foundation. It's founded on the rock of ages. I'm headed to a city where people never grow old. There's no separation. There's no crippled bodies and shortness of breath and insulin injections and blood transfusions. Thank God I'm going to a place that the Bible says is heaven where Jesus is. I hope you're going there. It's called the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21:2. It's called the City of God in Hebrews 12:22. It's called Paradise in Revelation 2:7. It's called our Father's house in John 14:2. It's called the Heavenly Country in Hebrews 11:16. There's many more names that I could give about heaven, but you get the understanding.
heaven is a real place. Number two, heaven is made up of real people. Pardon me. I'm sorry. Heaven is made up of real people. They're not ghosts. Pardon me. They're not some apparition flying around. Listen to me this morning. How many of you have a loved one that's already in glory today? You know they're in glory. Raise your hand.
Yeah. I've got a mom up there. I've got a dad.
I got a sister.
I got uncles and aunts, kin people.
I've got one
living aunt. She's in South Carolina. She's 90-some
years old.
I got one sister. I got some nephews. But as far as my close family, most of them have already made that journey. They've already had their ticket punched. They've already boarded. And they're enjoying the bliss of God today. Heaven is made of real people. I mean, listen, people ask me, will we know one another? Yes, we will know one another. But thank God when we get to heaven, we won't have eyeglasses and false teeth. We won't have shortness of breath. We won't have crippled bodies. We will, I believe, we will be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
Somebody said, what's that like, preacher? Well, Jesus was 33 when he went to heaven. I believe we'll be in the prime of our lives. Amen. I believe, my friend, we won't have any age marks. We won't have crippled bodies or wrinkled faces or crow's foot or crippled hands or any deformities. We will be a perfect person in heaven. Amen. Amen. Shout it out, friend. I want to tell you, heaven is a real place made up of real people.
Yeah.
You say, how do you know that? Acts 1:11. You don't have to turn there. Listen to me. Jesus is now in the glorified. He has been crucified, buried, risen. And he's given his disciples their last instructions. Listen to what the Bible said. In Acts 1:11, the Bible said that Jesus was taken up into heaven. And those disciples that stood there that day, I believe they watched until they could no longer see his image. I used to, when my sister Brenda, she used to fly back to Bible college in Springfield, Missouri, and we'd go to Raleigh-Durham Airport. And back in those days, in the 60s, early 70s, you could walk out on the tarmac. And she'd get on that Eastern Airlines airplane. We'd say our goodbyes. They'd shut the door, and then the planes turn around and start to taxi. And Mom and Daddy and me, we would stand there, and we would watch until that plane took off and until it was nothing more than a speck in the air. And then we'd turn around and go back home. I believe these men in Acts 1:11, they watched until that little speck was no more. And all of a sudden, two angels appeared unto them. And here's what the angels said. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. We have here the record of the Lord Jesus ascending back into heaven in a bodily form. I mean, they recognized him. They could see him. And friend, when you and I get to heaven, we're not going to be some ghost. We're not going to be some Casper. We're going to have a body that is recognizable and that is touchable, and we will be able to recognize our loved ones that's already gone there. They're still alive in heaven.
Yeah.
Thursday night, we had picked up Ava Lee in Greensboro, and we had to ride to Burlington for something. So we got a bite to eat. And on the way back home, I had Eric and Laura's CD play it. And they've sung this song here before, "We Shall Behold Him." And as we were riding down the road, Laura was singing that wonderful song, that the heavens would part. And one day we will see him, we'll behold him as he is. And in the back seat, my little five-year-old granddaughter was singing right along with her. That blessed my heart. As we got all of us to the house, how many of you have heard of Anthony Berger? Raise your hand. Oh, just two or three of you. Anthony Berger was the pianist for Bill Gaither for a number of years. Fantastic pianist. And if you have computer capabilities, go on YouTube and type in "We Shall Behold Him" by Anthony Berger, and it will bless your heart. So I told my wife this story. Anthony Berger was on board the cruise ship, one of those singing at the sea. And you have to see him play this. I mean, he puts his entire self into this song. And then Anthony Berger was on board this cruise ship at the singing at the sea. And he was playing, "We Shall Behold Him." And when he got to that last credenza, and I don't ask me what that means. I've heard it said, so I'm going to say it. It sounds good. Amen. Ask Bob Holden. He knows. But anyhow, Anthony Berger, he's have you seen him do that, Joanne? I mean, he's doing this number, and he's coming down them keys, and the choir is backing him up. And I mean, you feel like you're getting raptured up, and all of a sudden, he hits that last key on the piano on that cruise ship. And you know what? Bam! He falls over dead. Had a heart attack. Right then, right there, on board the cruise ship. And Anthony Berger, he beheld him. He saw him. He went to be with him. Hey, one of these days, it won't be long, when the eastern sky shall separate, we shall behold him. We're leaving this world. I hope you're ready. There's two people that I want to call your attention. Time's about gone. Two people that left this world without dying. One of them was named Enoch. We find in Hebrews 11, verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." You go back in the book of Genesis, you read about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Hear me out. They say, I don't know, you read about Enoch, and the change that came in Enoch's life was when he had a little boy by the name of Seth. The Bible said after the birth of Seth, he began to walk with God. And the Bible said here was a man that he just walked with God and walked with God. Somebody said it like this: one day Enoch and God went to walking. And they walked on all through the day. At the end of the day, Enoch said to God, "God, I'm pretty far from the house. I believe I need to turn around and go back home." And God said to Enoch, "Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are your house. Why don't you just come on home with me?" And Enoch walked on home with God. Amen. He was translated. I'm not much of a science fiction fan. Just bear with me for a minute. I don't know how that word translated, but here's what I think about when I think about that. And you're going to think I'm crazy. If you've ever seen Star Trek.
Amen. And Captain Kirk says, beam me up, Scotty. And all of a sudden, he dematerializes. And the next thing you know, he's on some planet or back in the Enterprise.
Well, friend, I got news for you one of these days.
Sandy, she had to take, what was it, Savannah to the hospital or get her leg checked out. Bless her heart, she told me a while ago, she said, preacher, you got to buy you some riches. I said, bless your heart, I found me some this week. But one of these days, it ain't going to be a pretty sight. Because the only thing that's going to be left behind is these old clothes. One of these days, I'm going to be translated if the rapture takes place before I breathe my last breath, Brother James. We talked about shirts this morning. Hey, all this is going to drop. This here little sweater vest, this here shirt, pants, whatever. Hey, underwear, yes sirree. She's going to drop, and I'm going to rise. You say, hey, you worried about being unclothed? No, sir. I'm going to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I'm going to be wrapped up in His righteousness. I'm going to have on a white garment. You ain't going to see nothing. Hallelujah. Second man I call your attention is a man by the name of Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 says this, and it came to pass as they still went on, and they talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And listen, and they took hold of his own clothes and rent them into two pieces. Here was a man that God called home without having to die. I don't know about you, but I just love to cheat the undertaker, amen. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not real fond of funerals. I'm not real fond of caskets. I'm not fond especially of the cost. I don't know if y'all ever had to sit in and go through all that, but it's good with me. I'd just soon cheat the undertaker. Amen? And here are these two men. We have these two instances where somebody went to heaven without having to physically die. And friend, the same thing's going to happen to the faithful Christian that's alive when Jesus comes. And Paul teaches us this. Listen, he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This incorruptible, this corruptible must put on incorruption. Mortal put on immortality. When that's brought past, then death is swallowed up in victory. Last thing I want to say this morning, heaven is a place of bliss. I like how Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A little place we live in. We've had some work done to it. Brother James and Craig, they've fixed it up. But my wife was pointing out some things the other day that needs fixing. Nothing they did. But I'm glad Paul said this, for we know that if our earthly house, talking about this body, this tabernacle were dissolved, we've got a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so then, being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we in this tabernacle groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us the self-thing is God, hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord.
Y'all do realize that you're not looking at the real Frank Thacker. You can't see him. He's on the inside. All you see is an outward tabernacle, a shell. And when somebody dies, if you have ever been around someone, when they take that last breath, you can see the spirit leaving the body. And I'm not, listen, I'm not talking about ghosts. I'm just saying, at that moment of death, when they breathe that last breath, and when that body is nothing more than a shell, it is a tabernacle. It is a temporary home that needs fixing up, that needs repair work. But thank God I'm headed to a city that don't need any repairs, that don't need any improvements. I'll have a body that is suited just for me, and thank God it will be exactly what the Lord wants me to be.
Amen.
I'm going to a place, and I'm closing. Listen how John described it. I got so much to say in little time. In Revelation 21, God shall wipe away every tear. I cannot tell you how many tears I have cried for you, for my family. But God one day is going to take his omnipotent handkerchief. He's going to wipe the last tear away. There will not be any more. There won't be any more crying over a wayward son or a daughter or a lost family member or somebody that's having to go through extensive treatments. Brother Bobby Robertson right now, a good, great pastor of the Gospel Light Baptist Church, they found a brain tumor. Bobby is in his 80s and he's pastored. Oh, he's led many to Christ over the years. They operated on Friday, I think, this week. They first said it was inoperable. I know other people. Doctors have said the cancer has come back, the spots and the tumor is here, and the person's not strong enough to go through chemotherapy. I won't reveal the person's name, but somebody called me this week and told me, we haven't told the family yet, but our loved one, the doctors have said, that there's a tumor in the lungs, and it's not going, if it's benign or if it's malignant, we can't do anything about it. They're not strong enough. Friend, I'm sure many of you have shed tears. There's coming a day. He'll wipe every tear away. And he said, they'll wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Woo! Can you say glory? How many of you headed to heaven? Say amen. No more headaches. No more migraines. Went to the doctor on Monday and he said, I got good news and I got bad news. He said, the good news is you have a virus. The bad news is you have a virus. He said, it won't do you any good for me to give you anything. You just got to wear it out. So I'm wearing it out. But no more colds or flu. Flu about took me out of here this year. Thank God for a good church. This old boy here, I got frequent flyer miles at Moses Cone Hospital. Honestly, goodness, I walk in there and they say, hey, how you doing? I went in one night. Hey, I'll tell you this. I went in one night as a patient on Friday night. On Saturday, my son was up there. He come see me Friday night, and then he ended up there. So I walked in and walked up to the lady at the where they get you the sticker to go back to ER. And she said, what, you just in here last night? I said, I was a patient last night, but I'm a visitor tonight. She said, okay, here's your sticker. we get to rest from our labors. But the greatest thing of all is that we'll get to see the one who loved us and gave his life for us. Somebody asked me the other day, "Preacher, how long have you been preaching?" I said, "Well, I've been trying for 45 years. From the time that the Lord called me, I didn't say pastor, I just said preacher. Preached my first sermon at Brightwood Baptist Church. I was 15, 16. Lasted every bit of 15 minutes. I know what some of you are thinking, boy, I wish you could go back to that day. Penny Andrews sang the invitation song, "God Will Take Care of You." And for these 45 years, he has taken care of me. He gave me a home in heaven. He gave me eternal life. I could never repay him for what he's done for me. But one day, hopefully, I'll be able to lay down any crowns and any kind of rewards and say to him, "Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for a sinner like me. Thank you for giving me a home in heaven." How beautiful heaven must be.